Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it's good to be with you here on a Friday afternoon. It's kind of a wet, rainy, nasty Friday afternoon. That is why we have been sent inside. Inside the Crown Royal Club, that's where we are, inside Oracle Arena. Good to be nice and dry here today. We've got a great 3 hours for you before my pal Kerry Keating joins me for a little Warriors warm-up. We've got the Warriors hosting the Sacramento Kings in town. This is one of those, a lot of people using the highway to get down here tonight. So if you are coming down to the game, it's supposed to be pretty much raining solid between now and tip-off. You're going to want to leave work a little bit early. You're going to want to add a half an hour, 40 minutes to wherever you're going around the Bay Area today because it is a little slow and nasty out there. Hopefully, we're going to make things easy for you no matter where you're going. Welcome. It's great to have you here. We've got a great lineup for you today. We are going to talk to Matt Maiocco, Amgen Cozumel a little bit later on this hour. Of course, Maiocco will just check in on how the 49ers are doing. We'll ask him about the Kaepernick blackballing, which continues to be one of the favorite topics of certainly the blogosphere, that's for sure. We're going to talk with Jim Cozumel about the Kings. He, of course, is their pregame show host on CSN California. We're looking forward to always catching up with a good guy, Jim Cozumel. Speaking of good guys, we are going to replay a great guy for you today. I got to tell you, there's not a lot of times where I do a show and then I go home and I want to hear what just happened. My wife was really interested in the Chris Berdych interview that we did yesterday from 6:30 to 7 o'clock. I know a lot of you missed it. You already got home. I got to be totally honest with you. This isn't tooting my horn. This is tooting his horn. It's one of the most inspirational, cool stories I've ever heard told to us on this program. Chris Berdych just, on a stand-up paddleboard, traversed the Atlantic Ocean. He set all kinds of human records. He did it for incredible charity awareness, and it is an amazing story. It's a little bit of a depressing day outside, so I thought we would have that for you at 4 o'clock in case you missed it last night, and if you missed some of it, you're going to want to listen to the whole thing. Chris Berdych is an amazing person with an incredible story and a journey that no human being has ever made before on the planet successfully the way that he did, crossing the Atlantic Ocean from the South Africa, and he made it I can't even remember where he docked. It was like the Antilles or some beautiful island chain just off of South America, and he arrived at the Pillars of Hercules. I mean, it's just an amazing story. Everyone could use a little boost of amazing in their lives, so we're going to have that for you at 4 o'clock. Gary St. Jean's always amazing when he stops on in.
Hi,
we're going to have Hey, Gary. We're going to have Bruce Jenkins check in for the very first time. We talk to Bruce each and every summer. Once a week, we have him on, usually talking baseball, a little basketball, playoffs. I'm sure we'll talk to him about his outstanding book that I read when I was on my vacation in Hawaii, Shop Around, which is a love letter to the Motown and R&B and his dad's musical preferences and whatnot. It's just a great book. I had so much fun hanging out with Bruce Jenkins book-wise on my vacation. We'll have to talk about that a little bit and the coming baseball season. And, of course, bring up the issue that we all see floating out there. It's been something we've been prepping you for. And, look, when it comes to what the Raiders may or may not do on Monday, what the announcement may or may not be, I was listening to Carmen Policy on with the Afternoon Delight, and he said that there are a few scenarios where maybe the vote doesn't happen, maybe the vote happens, but it's a caveat vote where they still need some things agreed to before it's a full green light. All I can tell you is that come Monday, Raiders fans, I think it's time to brace for the worst and hope for the best. Got to brace for the worst and hope for the best when it comes to this football team staying here in Oakland. We know what the wishes of the team are. We know what our audience wish is for them to stay here. The vast majority of you, if it were up to you, you would have the Raiders not move anywhere. I got to be totally honest with you. It is a very odd place for a flagship station to be in. It really is. I'll pull the curtain back a little and let you know that it's a very awkward situation, because you pretty much, as a flagship station, you want what the teams say is best for them and their bottom line. But this is the one thing that I think no one at the station actually wants to see happen. It'll just be something that we have to deal with should it happen. I do know this for a fact. Our broadcast contract with the Raiders extends far beyond Monday. So no matter what happens on Monday, we're still going to be a Raider station in some ways. Obviously, the feeling would be a lot different. There is no reason for anyone to pretend that everything's the same and business as usual if business becomes so unusual on Monday with the announcement that the Raiders are indeed approved to move to Las Vegas. Will relocation hurt the team if that happens? There's no doubt in my mind that it will. Like, if the Raiders really think that they're going to win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years, you better do it before you start packing moving boxes. Like, the Raiders have one shot to win a Super Bowl, two shots to win a Super Bowl, because they're not going to be doing it if they're temporary tenants at Levi Stadium. They're not going to be doing it if they get thrown to Sam Boyd Stadium, if Oakland throws them out of the Coliseum. We talk about what NFL teams hate. Number one on the hate board for NFL teams is distractions. What exactly could be a bigger distraction than moving your entire team, your headquarters, every player? Well, if you bought in the Bay Area and you turn around and sell it, you probably make a nice little profit on it. But outside of that, the school districts, all the logistics that come with picking up an NFL organization, put it down somewhere else. Somewhere else, by the way, that comes with a mountain of distractions that no professional team at the NFL or hockey level has ever dealt with. What will it be like if professional athletes are rolling on the strip in season with a game tomorrow on a nightly basis? Now, I'm not here to damn the fun to be had in Las Vegas. That's why I go to Las Vegas, to have that same amount of fun that I'm saying, oh, it might get these players in trouble. But they do it on a much different level than I think a lot of us do it when we go to Las Vegas. The more access, the more privilege, the more money means the more trouble you can get into is all around you. I'm sure that's going to be brought up during the NFL owners' vote as they sit around and debate. You're going to have the old guard hanging on to reasons why they still don't like the Raiders, they still don't like Vegas, they still don't like Al Davis's ghost. You're going to have a lot of different people bringing up different points. And maybe, you know, even if gambling's, you're not public about it, maybe it's a private big deal and you'll come up with another theory as to why you're voting for the Raiders to know. Nine's the magic number. Nine's all it takes. Nine people with more than just today in mind that have their mind on tomorrow as well. Leaving the Bay Area right now, it just seems to be a ridiculous time to move. A man who's hosted many more shows than I have so far in my life here and as a broadcaster in the Bay Area, obviously,
whenever we do the Ralph, it is an homage. I can tell you right now that a very great man used to say two things can be equally true.
It was one of the sayings that Ralph always hung his show on.
Two things can be equally true. Two totally opposite things can be equally true.
And, you know, he was always right about that. Two totally opposite points can be totally true. So here is the truth. With the offer that Vegas has on the table, it might be the right time for the Raiders to take it and go. I mean, I guess we have need to concede that a little. There's some truth to that. The city of Oakland, by the way, this thing that's going on with Fortress today and Ronnie Lott, what a pathetic Hail Mary. An 11th hour local face saver so you're not burning down City Hall come Monday if they go. This is a sad, pathetic attempt by a city that did nothing but throw sad and pathetic ideas as to how to solve this solution of the NFL leaving your I don't even want to talk about it. There's zero optimism in it, as far as I'm concerned. If the Fortress Investment Group had all this money that was ready to go, why would you wait till about 2 o'clock Friday afternoon before the vote to relocate goes down on Monday, you turkeys? If you're buying it, God bless you. I ain't buying it. I am not buying it. But two things can be equally true. Excuse me. Two things can be equally true. I love when Albie takes a piece of paper to make a note on that I'm working off of. Here, feel free to take any of these, Albie. Any of those are up for grabs, man. Thank you. Even if it is the right time for the Raiders to do it, if that's true, what is also true is it's completely the wrong time to be leaving the Bay Area. Like, insanely wrong time in the history of time to be leaving the Bay Area. Our economy is booming. The population is booming. Claire McNair, who is a writer for The Ringer, which is Bill Simmons' HBO's new project, said, you know, Oakland, a part of the country's seventh largest metro area, and with the 49ers now anchored in suburban Santa Clara with various shades of dismal all around it, it would seem like a prime chance to grow the franchise's famously rabid fan base right in Oakland. Not just in Oakland, but poaching people in San Francisco who going to Santa Clara just insults them. They're not going to do it. They don't want to do it. They'd rather take a short BART ride to an NFL game than a long 2.5-hour car ride round trip to an NFL game. And that's what a lot of people are looking at these days. You know, are you that big of a candidate to, if the Raiders move, you're going to just leave and never go to a 49er game? Or you're going to be a 49er fan? No. No, Raider fans are not going to be lining up to buy Niner jerseys on Tuesday if they vote to go to Vegas. But what might happen is you go to a Niner game. You know, people have still got an NFL itch around here that they're going to scratch. They're going to want to go see either a team, an opponent, just have a game day, have a tailgate. Like, that is all going to happen around here still. The 49ers, I think, are going to pick up a lot more people going to their stadium if the Raiders do this, because you've just left a whole bunch of football fans with money to spend and nothing to spend it on. It's just so nuts. Again, Monday, we'll be bracing for the worst. We'll be hoping for the best. We are not going to make a big deal out of this Fortress Investment Group that I know Gianna was talking about in the top of the hour update. Like, spare me. Just please, please, please spare me. We had a little NBA history last night. I don't know if you saw this, but the Phoenix Suns started the youngest starting five in the history of the NBA. So young, as a matter of fact, that not only are the youngest starting five in the history of the NBA, but they're actually younger than most of the teams that played last night in the NCAA tournament. As a matter of fact, they're younger than every team that played in the NCAA tournament last night, except Purdue's average age in terms of starting five. Not the entire team, just the starting five. But that's seriously, like, amazing. The Suns, they roll out a 21-year-old Tyler Ulis, a 20-year-old Devin Booker, a 20-year-old Derrick Jones Jr., a 19-year-old Marquise Chris, and Alex Len is the grandfather of the group at the ripe old age of 23. The average age of that starting five is 21 years, 14 days. They got off to a fast start, by the way, against Brooklyn, but that did not last long. They were run off the court by 28 when it was said and done. But there's a little NBA history involving the Phoenix Suns and Brooklyn Nets. How many times have you had a sports talk radio show get to bring something like that up? I've never brought something like that up before. So I figured we would have to give it a little attention today. I think that it's cool. The tournament last night was awesome. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. What happened in the opening round of the Sweet 16 last night gave us three games decided by a grand total of 6 points. Of course, Kansas blew Purdue out when it was said and done, 98-66. Kansas outscored Purdue 51-26 in the second half. This is one of Purdue's best seasons ever. And I would just like to remind anyone who is listening, who went to Purdue, that your team lost to Kansas, which is one of the teams Indiana beat in a year that was so bad when it finished, we had to fire our coach. So the team that knocked you out of the tournament, that was our high water mark of the season about 4 months ago. So congratulations. What comes around goes around. Indiana's still better just by that alone. At least that's the logic that I'm going to use today. We were over at Warrior practice yesterday, and Steve Kerr was already talking about Arizona matching up with Gonzaga and what a tough matchup that could be. And I thought to myself, all right, get past Xavier first. I had Arizona cutting down the nets. I had Arizona winning the whole thing. My bracket was still alive and breathing right up until last night when they basically just decided to stand around and watch Trier try to get a bucket over the last 6 minutes and did nothing else. Arizona forgot how to run an offense in the last 3-4 minutes of that game. Xavier put a zone on them that just wrapped them up. It wasn't quite the collapse Arizona had against Illinois in 2005 that cost them a chance to go to the Final Four, but it was almost as bad. Like, I couldn't believe that. Did Gonzaga get past West Virginia last night, 61-58? Gonzaga is now a win away from the Final Four. Mark Few was asked if he'd like to get the monkey off of his back, and he dropped one of the all-time NCAA tournament press conference answers saying, I don't have a monkey, I don't have a dog, I don't have anything on my back. Like, that is a media, that is you. We're very confident in what we do in Gonzaga and don't need your approval of what we do. And if you think about it, what's left? Besides Xavier, which has officially crashed the party here, which is a mid-major, you have nothing but the big-time blue blood programs, Xavier and Gonzaga. I mean, it's the mid-majors in Gonzaga. It's time for Mark Few, if he takes that next step, even if he doesn't, like, don't you want a bigger challenge? You get 2-3 hard games a year at Gonzaga tops right up until you go to the NCAA tournament. You roll out of bed 29-2 without breaking a sweat at Gonzaga. Is that great basketball? Is that a great basketball coach? Or is that just a program and a university that takes everything a lot more serious than everyone else in your conference, except St. Mary's a little bit? And that brings me to Randy Bennett. Why isn't Randy Bennett going to Cal? Like, there's a part of me that just, it's not him. If you know for a fact that all you do is top out at middle management, you weren't meant to be in charge of something really big, then okay. I guess I can wrap my mind around that. But Randy Bennett should not only say, not only am I not interested in the Cal job, I'm just going to hide here at St. Mary's, work an Australian pipeline, and like Gonzaga, I only have 5 games of the year that are actually tough, 2 of them against Gonzaga, and they beat us like clockwork. Like, you get a chance to go to Cal and really test your mettle as a coach in the Pac-12, a growing, successful Pac-12, and you're going to stay at St. Mary's? Like, no disrespect, St. Mary's, but come on. Like, are you ready for the big time or not? Like, what if I could tell you? You know, so a lot of people ask me, why don't you have a podcast? So it's because I have a broadcast. Broadcasts officially trump podcasts in the world of broadcasting. But you know that more people could listen whenever you want. It's not about that. It's about me. I've never thought about my audience once, Gianna, like during the actual broadcasting, podcasting process. It's a 4-hour selfish act. I just want to do it. I hope you like it too. We stick with that. We mean it for real. And it's just like, Randy, do you want to be a big time college coach or do you just want to be a college coach? Like, what do you want to do? Here's your chance, man. I would like to congratulate the University of California for hiring Wyclef John of the Fugees to be their new head basketball coach today. You're going to have great success with that. There's just no doubt. Hi, Gianna.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you, Damon?
I'm doing well, thank you. Fun traffic getting in here today, wasn't it?
OMG. Getting out of the city was horrendous.
Yeah.
That's what held me up so much.
Well, you know what just happened? The 3 o'clock buzzer happened in San Francisco, and 3 o'clock means 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Right, and
especially
it's
when it's raining.
Yeah, for sure.
So people are just bouncing. Normally 4 o'clock means 5 o'clock on a Friday. Today it's 3 o'clock means 5 o'clock, and people are out. Let's see, what else happened? Oregon held on to beat Michigan last night. That was a 1-point game. That was a lot of fun again. Big time coach. Look, you could add Kerry Keating, but you're going with this guy that you're promoting that no one's ever heard of, including everyone who backs Cal. Like, there isn't a single Cal person who heard or knows of the assistant coach that got promoted to head coach today. So to say it's not going to exactly ripple through the culture in Berkeley is a big understatement. I was like, who? Really? Like, this is a Pac-12 job. Like, you do know that, right?
Yeah.
You know, somebody would be interested in it just because Randy Musselman, Eric Musselman, basically used it to get a better offer at Nevada. He stayed, so he played Cal. Bennett, I guess, was offered the job. He told him no. Like, you can knock on a few other doors. You really can, Cal. You don't have to then panic and turn around and hire the guy that no one's ever heard of, including your own fans. It's not exactly going to be a boon for recruiting in Northern California. Unless Wyclef John really is one of the single greatest waiting to happen college basketball coaches, and years from now we're looking back going, genius, absolute genius. You never know where greatness is going to come from. You never know. It could come from anywhere. So maybe it comes from the assistant that no one ever heard of whose name is a lot like Wyclef John. Is his name Wyking?
Wyking, yeah.
Wyking? Like you're a like you're saying Viking, but you're saying it
Wyking Jones.
Yeah, you're basically Lillian von Stooping the word Viking from Blazing Saddles. Yeah, Wyking.
Yeah.
Tired, sick and tired of love. That's what this is. He's the Wyking. That's a weird name, man.
It's different.
No, it's no. That passed different three exits ago. That's a weird name. There's no other way to say it. Wyking. Okay. Coach Wyking. Good luck to you, Coach. Good luck. Quanzo Martin. No big whoop, right? I guess that's done. Good job, Quanzo. Good job. Hardly knew you. I remember he came on the show. He had a bad phone call, bad connect. He hung up and we never talked to him again. It kind of symbolizes his entire run as Cal's men's basketball coach.
Yeah.
It really does. Hey, I was just handed a note here that Matt Maiocco has canceled. Is it the St. Mary's thing? Is it the Randy Bennett rip? No, he got busy, obviously. He's unable to do it. Matt Maiocco went to St. Mary's, so I thought maybe if he was listening,
gotcha.
That's why
he's
I can't.
Like, never, yeah, coming never, on
never,
again.
Never, ever again. So Matt is...
Attack!
Cobra will not be attacking today, apparently, but we will catch up with him. You know, we didn't even really have any new Niner news to go over with him. We were going to talk a little bit about the media sensationalizing Colin Kaepernick, and I hear that today you've got Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks blowing that horn as well. He wants to jump on that bandwagon. You know what? There might be something to it, but there are other things to it other than people's dislike of what he did or didn't do or does not represent. And I'll prove that to you as soon as we come on back. Why you wouldn't want Colin Kaepernick, even the person writing a blog, how he's been blackballed. That's next here on 95.7 The Game. Yeah, we're inside Oracle today. It's rainy outside. Should be perfectly dry. Very nice. Were they having moisture problems last night down in San Jose because of the Sharks' ice underneath the floor? Looked like there were a couple times where that might have been a concern. I couldn't really tell because there were times when we had the volume down, doing some other things. It was a busy night at the house. But looked like there was a lot of wiping up. Hopefully that didn't affect anything. I saw a lot of Steve Kerr on TV. Boy, they cut away to him a whole bunch.
I bet.
They really, really did. They did not cut away to him at the end. As a coach, he must have been incredibly frustrated with the way that they handled that final possession. It was just awful. West Virginia, which had the great nickname of Press Virginia, turned into Stress Virginia last night. And a kid basically missed two threes and then dribbled out the clock to end the game. And I don't know if this is the Steph Currying of a new generation of kids at the end of basketball games, but the amount of dudes dribbling and shooting like they are Steph or Clay who are not Steph or Clay are defining some real crunch time moments that you see in the world of younger than the NBA basketball that we're now taking a look at that is clearly being influenced by the NBA. There's a part of me that's watching that tournament last night, just watching them kids just throw up threes like they're nothing. It's like, man, you know, back when I was in college, like, if you took a three and you missed it, like, you'd look over at the bench to see if the coach was going to pull you next. Like, threes are just thrown around like confetti these days. Like, it's nothing. Like, everybody's shooting like a Golden State Warrior. Not everybody shoots like a Golden State Warrior, which is why some of this is drifting into, like, unwatchable level basketball sometimes. There have been some doggy-dog games out there, but... God, you can just see the influence that this franchise has had on the basketball world. Looking at, you know, the way some teams are trying to end these games with just a, you know, I'm not going to just take a three to try to win it, even though we're only down one. I'm not just going to shoot a three. I'm going to shoot a step back three off the dribble with two hands in my face. You know, it's just, it's a little bit much sometimes when you're watching and you think, all right, well, you could do that, or you could, you know, run a play, run someone off a screen or pick and roll, a little something there. Something other than, hey, kid who thinks he's the alpha male, dribble out the shot clock and then miss a three. That's happening way, way too much. Want to talk a little bit about the sensationalizing of Colin Kaepernick right now. Well, not that, not even that. I want to talk about what made me think of this. And then, you know, today, just coincidentally, Richard Sherman is saying that, you know, he believes the blackballing is real and so on and so forth. And I'm telling you, there's definitely an element to it. I'm not here to dismiss the notion of Colin Kaepernick being blackballed as something that is pure fabrication. But it's not like that everywhere. And to the blogger who is writing about it right now, all I can – so – Gianna, an actual question on ESPN's graphic today was, and I quote, is the media sensationalizing Kaepernick? Like we're asking that as a brand new question today?
I think.
Like, has anyone been paying attention?
This has been going on
since
for a bit.
September?
Yeah.
When this all started? Look, this has been a massive media sensation since the moment the story broke. It appeals to the zeitgeist. Oh, one of my favorite words. It is one of my favorite words. The zeitgeist. I used to say zeitgeist of our times, but zeitgeist is of our times.
Yeah.
So it's now you're redundant with your zeitgeist. But it's part of the landscape that we're all living in right now. That Kaepernick story has everything that we're talking about all in one. It's football. It's racial. It's class warfare. It's patriotism. It's like 2016 got together with Donald Trump's tanning bed and had a baby to produce the single most inflammatory sports story slash culture story that we could come up with in one eggshell. It's amazing. We will look back at this in a moment in time and just be like, God, that had it all.
It did.
That absolutely had it all. So the bloggers went nuts. And people went nuts because bloggers make people nuts. And then clicks went nuts. And nuts clicks means nutty bloggers are going to blog more nuttier stuff. And then it's just a, now you just got, it's nuts inception. You got nuts within nuts within nuts. And everyone's going nuts. And the writers are going nuts. And the customer's going nuts. And the clicks are going nuts. And the count is going nuts. And everybody's going crazy. And you want more. You know, the only thing that satisfies the nuts is more nuts. I don't know if you've noticed this, but the, hey, everyone, let's just take a deep breath and calm down, isn't the way we talk anymore.
No.
That's not happening. Like, you know, today, not to go Fiesta politics on you, but today was a huge, huge win for people who didn't like the new healthcare bill.
Yeah.
They didn't even put it to a floor vote. They knew it was so dead on arrival. They pulled it before the vote even happened. Maybe like Las Vegas, a lot can happen over a weekend. Anyway, they pulled it before the vote even happened. And you had, like, Democratic senators posting, like, Seinfeld memes of, like, George Costanza walking out of the room confused, like, no, no, no. And I was thinking, like, might this be a time to take the high road?
Absolutely.
Might this be a time to return the conversation to full-grown, educated adults who know what the hell they're doing, not just flame fanners.
Right.
There is no more fire extinguisher. It's just flame fanning.
It's 0 to 100.
Exactly. Thank you, Drake. Thank you. It really is. And, you know, I just look at it all. And everyone who's writing and everyone who's going nuts, again, people are going nuts now because it's not just that he's not signed, it's that he's blackballed. And, oh, my God, every single time Colin Kaepernick blackballed appears on an internet matrix, I wonder how many click that gets. You know, what headline are you clicking on? NFL teams carefully weighing options before talking to Colin Kaepernick. Or Kaepernick blackballed.
Well, I mean, clickbait.
We know, right?
The title says everything.
So here's what I would say to all of these bloggers, and some of these bloggers bring up very good points. I'm not here to dismiss the message. I'm here to dismiss the breathless delivery of this message at all times. And my message to any of these bloggers who are just burning angry that Colin Kaepernick has been blackballed and there is no place left for him in the NFL. I ask you, nameless, faceless blogger, what's your favorite football team? Colin starting for them in week one. How do you feel about it now? For all these people who are dying that Colin Kaepernick can't get a job, God forbid he gets the job at the team you're rooting for to find out how right we have been this whole time.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Richard Sherman, have the Seahawks cut Russell Wilson, bring in Colin Kaepernick to be that team's quarterback, and you tell me how blackballed you feel that day. He stinks. There's no other way to say he stinks. He got a little bit better. Yeah, a little bit better than stinking always. He's just stunk some of the time. Oh, but look at all the touchdown-interception ratio. He didn't throw the ball more than 30 yards down the field once. He's petrified. He doesn't look up. He's got the yips. It's over. It's over. Look at it this way. The only way it's not over is if right now the only thing he's doing is training and working on football, and that's not what he's doing.
No,
he's distracted. He's got other things to do now. He's prioritized other things. You cannot return to the NFL as an awesome quarterback probably the same time you're collecting money and making, you know, airplane trips to Somalia. One's incredibly noble. The other is self-serving and selfish. I'm trying to be the best athlete I can be. I'm trying to change the world. If that's what you want to do, go do that. Because you're a lot better at that than you have been a quarterback in 3 years.
Lately, definitely.
I'm sorry we didn't have Matt Maiocco today, but I'm glad we got to get through all that. That was pretty good anyways, right? We said we didn't have any Niner stuff to talk about, and there you go. Well, I guess it wasn't even Niner stuff anymore. It's just Kaepernick stuff. But please, just the is the media sensationalizing the Colin Kaepernick story? Yes, since the night it bought it its first drink. Been taking it home and sensationalizing the hell out of it for months now. 888-957-9570. We're going to take some calls, I promise you that. But next, we are going to bring in Jim Cozumore. We got Warriors and Kings tonight. We haven't talked much about tonight's game, which is why we're at Oracle Arena. It's why we're here, and it's why we're talking to the Coz next. Great to be with you here inside the Crown Royal Club at Oracle. We're going to have the Sacramento Kings joining us in here not too far from now. Not in the Crown Royal Club, but at Oracle Arena, of course, where they're going to be taking on the Golden State Warriors tonight. A man who, like me, gets you ready for the basketball games that you enjoy is Jim Cozumore. He is your pre-game, post-game host, Sacramento Kings, over on the TV side. Nice enough to come over here on the little old radio side to get us ready for this game tonight. Coz, the last time we talked to you was the last time the Warriors played the Kings, and that was the last time we saw DeMarcus Cousins in a Kings uniform. Fuzzy memory, or thank God that came and went?
You know, that's a great question. There are, like everything, there isn't just one linear story here. There are two sides to it. On the positive side, DeMarcus was good for the community. He went into the community and did wonderful things with some of the kids who needed some help getting to know police officers and building relationships and bridges. But if we're just talking basketball, it is a godsend that he's gone from the Kings organization. He was that big of a Goliath in that he ruined, well, that's a strong word. He made things difficult for everyone, even when they were winning. There was never the joy of this team has just won. Let's exhale. There was always this team just won. What's DeMarcus going to say about it? Or is he going to be happy with how we won or if he got a shot? So it's a good thing he's gone.
You know, I've always said that Barry Bonds, if you want to act like him, you better bring the single greatest swing I've ever seen and the most ferocious at-bat I've ever seen a major leaguer take if you're going to act like he does. And there were nights where DeMarcus really did live up to that, you know, I'm one of the best in the world at what I do reputation. But it wasn't consistent enough for him to have that constant cloud around him. I always said, Bonds would walk into a room, a cloud followed him. Whether it was a good or bad cloud, it didn't even matter. It followed him. You felt it. You saw it. The pressure in the room would change when he walked in. And it was like that with Cousins, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. There was a certainly a clout around a guy who is as talented as he is. I mean, it speaks for itself that he was an all-star, and I think that you can make the argument he was the best at his position in the game, but they never were able to make the playoffs. Not all his fault, but he's part of the equation that it was a problem in Sacramento. He did have this dark cloud, and I never understood it. For someone who, if you met him, he could be as engaging and nice and kind and decent, but for some reason, Damon, he got on the court and it was all different. And people see it. They see. I mean, you know, one of his last moments was against the Warriors when he's getting into it with a fan. And it gets, you know, everyone's got recorders in their hands, in their pockets. Boom, they take a video of that. They throw it up on a website. And the next thing you know, his image takes another dumper. I just think it was the right time to go. And, you know, good luck to him in New Orleans. But this Kings team is headed in a much different direction. So you're going to see a much different team on the floor tonight.
Well, you know, you say they're in a much different direction, but they are 3-11 since the Cousins trade. So I don't know how much different that is. Might be a different feeling around the team, and that'll bring about a different direction. But like you said, let's talk about the return here of Buddy Hield. How has he looked on a 3-11 team since they added him?
And let's not forget, they're playing three rookies and one two-year guy an awful lot right now. So they've got some young they've got some young players who are trying to learn the NBA way. They're young rookies at that. As we look at a 3-11 record, let's remember they're not a group of veterans who are close to a playoff spot. This is a team that is no longer thought of as a playoff potential team. But how is Buddy Hield doing? At times he is playing just like a rookie will, which is taking bad shots and turning the ball over too much. And at times you can see the player that you think can be a really good player on a really good team. But again, he's just a rookie, so it's going to take a while for all of that to come together. You want to see him here. This is interesting now for this team, the final 11 games of the season. He's going to see what the best in the NBA has to offer tonight. He gets a firsthand look at the best two guard in the game and the other best guard in the game. Steph is the best guard in the game. Klay Thompson's the best two guard in the game. And Buddy Hield gets to go head-to-head against that. I think it's a valuable learning lesson, but you want to see him compete. In fact, how about this stat? Through 66 games of his career, he had as many three-point makes as Klay Thompson had in his first 66 games. How about that for a statistic?
That is a good statistic to have
That's
the thing, and it might suggest that there's an awful lot more to come, because as we were watching Klay do that at the dawn of his career, no one thought this was coming. No one.
No. And I'm not sure that we should. It was unfortunate when, you know, the Kings owner said, oh, Buddy Hield, and he used the name Steph Curry in the same sentence. That's unfortunate, because you don't want to lump any first year guy in with the best player in the game, because you're setting the bar far too high. But Buddy Hield addressed it. He handled it decently, and he's going out there and trying to get it done. I just hope tonight he learns something, but also competes and maybe gives something back.
Yeah, watch how uncomfortable a Steph Curry comparison can make someone. We're talking to Jim Cosimore, the Steph Curry of pregame hosts in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Coz, tell me a little bit about Papa G. George Papayannis, this is a guy who's got a fantastic name. He is getting more playing time. He's got a little bit more run now. He's 19 years old. He's Greek. And that's worked for the Milwaukee Bucks. Will it work for the Kings?
Yes, that's a great question. He's not going to become that Greek freak, but he's going to become the Kings version of it. And Vlade Divac got laughed at for making this pick in the first round. A lot of people said they didn't even have him on their board in the first round. He spent most of the season in the D-League with the team in Reno, but recently has started to get that run, like you pointed out. And for what he is, your description, 19 years old, 7-plus feet, his body is now getting into better athletic shape. He has a knack for blocking shots. He is not a physical gift like Antetokounmpo. I can't say his name, but like the Greek freak who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. So I'm not even going to try. But he is right now the type of center where you look at and say, wow, at the age of 19, he's doing some interesting things. Let's keep an eye on him. Let's not forget, the Kings probably are looking for the window to open in 2 or 3 years, not next year. So they're going to live with some lumps. He's done some good things, had some double-double. He had a double-double against Steven Adams and Enes Kanter of Oklahoma City. That's not bad for a 19-year-old to go up against two pretty strong guys, NBA centers, NBA big men, and come away with his first career double-double. So there are good things you're going to see, but it's a work in progress.
Coase, who does Scal Labissiere remind you of very early on in his career? Because he's just a whisper of a toothpicky kind of guy, but he's got some skills, man. He does.
You know, when he came out of high school, Ben Simmons was thought of as the best guy coming out of high school, and then he goes to LSU I think that's the way we looked at it. Yeah, he went to LSU. This guy went to Kentucky and fell off the radar. He was number two. Scal Labissiere was number two in the country behind Ben Simmons. And so now you're looking at a guy and you say, well, heck, why did he last until the 20s of the draft? Well, we're starting to see it. He's got a game that, boy, who does he remind us of? That's a tough comparison because he's thin and we're trying to figure out who he can be. And I will tell you that there are some who have watched him lately and said, of the Kings' young players, he has the best chance at becoming an all-star in the future. Of the Heels, of the Malachi Richardsons, of the Papa G's, of all those young guys, he has the best chance. He's got a fun game. He's athletic. He gets to the basket as thin and wispy as he is. He's not afraid to elbow guys. Now, he gets pushed out of the way some because he's light in the shorts. But give him a chance to grow into his now 21-year-old body. And the Haitian sensation, he had a double-double against the Phoenix Suns. And I use that comparison, Damon, because that's another young group. And he went up against the guy he was traded for, Marquese Chris. He dropped 32 and grabbed 11 off the glass against the guy he was traded for and ended up going much later in the draft. And I think the Kings are happy. I wish I could give you a comparison. I just can't. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to give you one because it would be unfair.
All right, fair enough.
I will tell you this. I wish the Kings would show him year two videotape of Kevin Durant. That's what I wish they would show him to say, you should aspire to this. I'm not saying he is that, so don't call me Vivek Ranadive comparing Buddy Hield to Steph Curry. But I'm saying I wish they would show him year two because in year two, I want to see Scal Labissiere push himself to be year two of Kevin Durant, which would be a difficult thing to be.
I was going to go with like poor man's Chris Bosh. You know, like that's
kind of that's a great one.
Thank you.
That's a
Thank
great
you.
One.
Thank you
and
very much.
I'm going to steal that and might use it tonight.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it. We
Thank
happily
you.
Give it to you. You want to plug the show, that's great. If not, we totally understand. Jim Cozumel, CSN Bay Area Kings pre- and post-game host. Matt Barnes says he wants to kill his former team tonight.
Yeah.
Look, all I can tell you is that it's good for the rivalry. This rivalry got a little, I don't want to say it's been relit because obviously the Warriors are just pretty, you know, much further down the road. But whatever makes the Kings play hard, whatever makes the Warriors frisky when they see the Kings come in, whether they're making it up or not, it's good for local rivalry, man. I'm glad. I really like it.
Totally into it. I agree with you. It'd be great for Northern California basketball. What a great thing to have happen. And so let's hope the Kings can get back to respectability and make things fun in Northern California. I'd love to see it, Damon.
How's your bracket, man?
Busted. My bracket is busted, but I will tell you this. Just because I'm a guest on your show and you're at the Crown Royal Room, I will celebrate tonight's game afterwards with the Crown Royal.
Oh, thank you very much.
I will make a Crown Royal Manhattan tonight when I
Ooh.
Get home.
Nice, nice. It's taking it up a notch from the, you know, little Crown and Coke Club. We thank you, as always, for joining us, man. Whenever they play the Kings, I'm like, I hope we get to talk to Coase. I'm glad we got to do it again, man. Thank you so much.
Damon, you're the best always. Thank you so much for having me on, and everyone, enjoy the game tonight.
Jim Cozumel, CSN Bay Area Kings pre- and post-host. Of course, you can also watch Greg Papa and another guest that we're going to have on a little bit later, Gary St. Jean, over on the CSN Bay Area pre- and post, which is all going to now soon be NBC Sports Network. There's a lot of different changing names and numbers and letters and things like that, but it's like Pac Bell Ballpark is now SBC Ballpark, is now AT&T Ballpark.
Yeah.
Just the parent company keeps on changing. Like, they really didn't change anything. They just get the damn company keeps on changing its name. I know we've talked an awful lot about the the Raiders changing much more than just their name. We will have a little bit more on that, but we're kind of saving it all till Monday, too, because we're just dealing in maybes and what might be's now. On Monday, this could be a huge reality. That is going to depress some people. You're going to need a little inspiration, and we are going to inspire you next. I can promise that. There are not a lot of times where I can say, if you listen to the next half hour of radio, you will walk away wanting to attack the day in a different way. You're going to want to make a better difference in this world. Chris Burdich, a big wave surfer, a humanitarian, who just came back from crossing the Atlantic Ocean on a stand-up paddleboard. We saw him last night. We want to have that for you, and we're going to get to Chris Burdich coming up next here on the Damon Bruce Show. You will be inspired, I promise.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.